Did you know that the Pop Culture Preservation Society is on Patreon? Patreon allows you to support our work by becoming dues-paying members of our society. We are an independent, women-run endeavor with a commitment to delivering the highest quality listening experience to our community. And so we've taught ourselves how to record, edit, and produce a podcast in midlife, a time when most of us are asking our kids how to regram a TikTok, so that we can deliver episodes that truly speak to you. Support from PCPS patrons means that we can devote more of our time and resources to the content, sources, equipment, software, hosting, and research that you've come to depend on without worrying about how to pay the bills. So thank you. We appreciate you from the bottom of our bell-bottomed hearts.
Welcome back. Ticket out.
Welcome, everybody, to this encore of an episode from summer of 2021 that we decided very last minute to rerun today because of something bonkers that has happened very recently. So, around 2 weeks ago, we noticed a large jump in Instagram followers, like a few hundred in a couple of days, which for us is significant. And while we were, of course, happy with that, we didn't really question why, because let's be honest, we stopped trying to understand Instagram algorithms years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then over the next week, those 100 changed to thousands, like multiple thousands. And we were like, what the hell is happening? How? Why? So we noticed that all of the new followers came from a reel we'd posted on May 8th. It was just a cute little reel of John Sebastian singing his hit song, Welcome Back, to commemorate the day in 1976 that song hit number one. But as longtime listeners know, over the years, John Sebastian has become almost a godfather to the PCPS. In fact, one of our loyal listeners says we should just probably start referring to him as Uncle John.
Right, or maybe Saint John. He has come up in so many different ways that have shocked us as we have done this podcast. So again, longtime listeners might remember when we first talked about him, we were shocked to find out that his godmother is Ethel Mertz, aka Vivian Vance, and his godfather, Garth Williams, children's illustrator of the Little House book series, and Charlotte's Web. So right then, we're like, we love this man. Well, you know why else we love this man and where else he turned up? He wrote,
do you believe in magic? In a young girl's heart, how the music can free her whenever it starts.
Oh my God, that's right.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
So one of our favorite Sean Cassidy ditties was first recorded by the Lovin' Spoonful, and it was written by John Sebastian. So he wove his way into our lives that way. So it's been moments like that where we're all of a sudden like, what the heck? This guy, he is the patron saint of the PCPS. Let's call him that.
For sure. So much so that now over, 170 episodes, anytime one of us will say, you'll never believe who, blah, 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 the other two without question shout, John Sebastian.
And it was really our first year of podcasting when this started to happen. Like John Sebastian would just pop up as the answer to every question that we had. It was always John Sebastian.
Right.
So as our numbers of followers are growing quite rapidly because of this post, we start to dig in a little bit on who it is that's doing the following. And it was interesting. So the first thing we notice, it's all men. And we certainly have listeners who are men. But as you probably get, the primary target audience for us is women. And so we're like, 100% men? This is so interesting. So then as we continued to look, no, it wasn't just men. It was very specifically Black men. Like, what is going on? Again, as you can imagine, a lot of women, we are women in our 50s who talk about the pop culture of the 70s and the 80s, which is a lot of white people. So we're like, what is, and that's just because of circumstances of how entertainment worked in the 70s, right? So we're like, what is it? Why is this all Black men that are following us? So then we start noticing that there are some really big names of people who are liking this post. People like Cedric the Entertainer, Eric McCormick from Will and Grace, Bill Burr. And again, we're like, what is going on? So at one point, we get one person who reposts this, and Carolyn's going to tell you about him in a second, who has a whole lot of followers, and we start getting even more attention. So we start digging into the comments of this person who reposted the John Sebastian reel that we posted. And oh my God, the things that we learned, this was like a little puzzle, a little present that we were unwrapping little by little. Here's what we learn in the comments. A lot of the people who are looking at this John Sebastian reel are for the first time realizing that the guy singing Welcome Back, the theme to Welcome Back, Cotter, is a white guy. Yeah. They are like, what? They had no idea. The reason they are surprised that he's a white guy is because so many of them thought that the person singing the song was Freddie Boom Boom Washington, one of the sweat hogs from Welcome Back, Cotter, who was played by Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. He was a teen idol of the day, and he was very popular, and everyone thought that Boom Boom was singing the song. It's so funny. It's so hilarious. But that's just one of the things that makes this so interesting. Here's another thing we discovered in the comments is that people kept saying, Welcome Back, Carter. Welcome Back, Carter. Welcome Back, Carter. And we're like, no, it's Cotter. It's not Carter. Well, here, Kristen, I got to check myself here. I'm thinking people are getting Cotter mixed up with Carter. No, this is because I'm not a football fan. I don't follow ball sports. So apparently this is a reference to Vince Carter, who other people might know is like an NFL player.
No, he's an NBA.
Back to something. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm already messing it up. So this is just exposing me. NBA, basketball is not the same as football. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. They're two different sports. So anyway, when Vince Carter came back to some basketball team, not football, it's not the same. And then they would play Welcome Back as his like theme song. So the whole NBA community now is latching onto this song. See, the more you know, Kristen.
That's right.
You're just expanding your world every day.
So it was so fun when we saw that NBA All-Star, four-time NBA champion John Sally liked our reel. Mind blown. That might have been more for me than Eric McCormick or Cedric the Entertainer. It was John Sally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing. This whole thing has been a trip for us. Totally a mind trip.
And it's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
I just checked before we came on to record and I was like, oh my God, mine just keeps getting blown.
See, Carolyn does know ball sports.
I guess
Carolyn is our ball sports girl. Yeah.
I know balls. I know my balls. Sports.
Oh, goodness.
So the person that reposted our reel of John Sebastian was a gentleman named Pete Rock. Up until a few weeks ago, I didn't really know who Pete Rock was. Let me tell you who Pete Rock is, people, okay? He is widely recognized as one of the greatest hip-hop producers of all time, okay? Huge. He is a music producer, a DJ, a rapper. He's got over 1 million followers. So all of a sudden, our little reel of John Sebastian is going out to the masses. And because of that, people are finding us. And I want to give you a couple of stats. Our reel has reached 153,991 accounts. So that's eyes that have seen this reel. Okay. People have interacted with it 23,919 times, and 2,017 of those have visited our profile. It's been played 387,000 times. It's been liked 18,000.6 times. It has 950 comments on our reel. That doesn't count the comments and the likes that Pete Rock got on his account when he posted it. 6,550 shares and 1,537 saves. You guys, this is insane.
For us, this is crazy.
This is nutty.
So crazy.
And all thanks to Pete Rock.
We gained 2,017 follows from this reel. Okay, let that sink in, everybody.
Okay, and understand, listeners, for us, that's huge. Like, you might be thinking of, like, a lot of these Instagram influencers that have...
We're not Kardashians.
Yes. Yeah,
I know we might look like it, but we're right. not. For us, who we get all of our, you know, followers organically. We engage with you guys. We don't buy bots or whatever. Right. So to us, this is significant.
It is huge. So why is this resonating so much with Pete Rock and then all of his followers? Well, I can tell you. So Pete Rock was born in 1970 in the Bronx. So he's growing up in the same neighborhood that Welcome Back, Kotter is set in. He relates to this area. Also, and this is a big one, you guys. So 28 years after Welcome Back, Kotter, the theme song hit number one, it was sampled in Maze's, he's a rapper, a hip hop artist. He sampled it in his song, Welcome Back. And it was a huge hit.
Where that come from? Me and Kuda love rolling back to back in one.
See, the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game. The same since I left out.
In 2004, this song saw a whole new life, and so many people that have also made comments would say, love it. Or love Maze, and they'd have M-A-S-E, and I'd be like, now I know he is a famous hip-hop artist, rapper, who sampled the song, and again, it was a hit. So we know that John was onto something.
This is so fascinating to us because it's something huge that was taking place under our nose, and we didn't know about it. So when this whole thing explodes, we're like, what's happening? Yes. We don't know what's happening.
Well, and I am so grateful. I mean, I've learned so much, and that's what's so great about our podcast is so often we learn things that we never knew that are so interesting. And I found all of this so incredibly interesting. And specifically, there's actually at least four rap songs that I have found that sample Welcome Back, Kotter theme. This was the one that kind of hit it the largest. Four. Yes. I am going to say now, I'm also going to crown Pete Rock as another patron saint of the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
Of the PCPS.
Because he brought folks to us. Well, because I found out all these interesting facts about Pete Rock and about the theme being sampled in these hip hop songs, of course, I had to travel down Carolyn's rabbit hole. Rabbit hole, rabbit hole. Let's go down the rabbit hole with Carolyn. Okay. Here we go, people.
Jazz hands.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to highlight a few that some of our listeners might already be aware of, and then I'm going to shoot a few more your way. Okay. John Sebastian, born to two parents.
Was he
born to two parents? Just so happened his dad was a famous classical harmonica player. Not just a harmonica player, a classical harmonica player. I think that's important because John Sebastian then grew up with music in the home and musicians everywhere. Burl Ives could be found at his home on many occasions. Burl Ives, you guys remember?
Little white duck
sitting in the water, a little white duck doing what he ought.
So there we go. We have Burl Ives. We have Woody Guthrie hung out at his house. We have across the hall, Eleanor Roosevelt is living across the hall from John Sebastian. Oh my gosh. This guy, can you believe?
Like First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say, in a New York apartment, she doesn't like have a bedroom in their house or anything
right.
like that. It's a New York apartment building. She lives across the hall. Yeah.
This is true.
They weren't roommates.
So obviously, John grows up around music. It's only natural he would become a musician. He becomes the lead singer of Love and Spoonful. And we have John Sebastian to thank for. Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? Because he wrote that song. Love and Spoonful was the first to record that song. And here's another little fun fact for you. The intro of that song, he actually sped up the 3-chord introduction from Martha and the Vandellas' Heat Wave. Heat Wave. If you listen to Heat Wave, you'll hear the similarity.
Yeah.
interested to know that John has been married 3 times, but his first wife, Jean Butchie Weber, later known as Butchie Denver. Did she marry John Denver? No, she did not marry John Denver. She married Bob Denver. She married Gilligan.
Gilligan.
So John Sebastian's first wife married Gilligan. I mean, is that not pop culture fun fact extraordinaire? I mean, that is pretty incredible.
No kidding.
And lastly, you guys, we're going to start a GoFundMe. You might not know this, but John Sebastian wrote a stage musical production of Charlotte's Web, including 20 original songs.
What?
But it was never produced. Okay. How about a PCPS GoFundMe account that we get John Sebastian's musical of Charlotte's Web produced? What do you say?
I would love that.
Okay. And the full circle with him being Garth, I was going to say Garth Brooks's, Garth Williams's,
that would be amazing.
The illustrator of Charlotte's Web, his godson. And now he's going to produce a musical of Charlotte's Web. I can't even take it.
I know.
Also, I can picture that musical. You guys,
yeah,
she's so cute. Could you see a little Fern?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's so cute. So because we are certain John Sebastian, godfather of the PCPS, Uncle John, St. John, somehow orchestrated all of this craziness, today we are replaying the first episode, we think, where he was mentioned, which was coincidentally, or not, because of his beloved song, Welcome Back. So welcome to everyone who has recently found us, and welcome back, loyal listeners.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
And I want to say again, it's about the feeling that I get, which is almost indescribable. I've tried to name it, and I'm going to tell you what I've come up with for right now. I would probably call it the Little House on the Prairie warming sensation effect. That it just gave me a warming sensation.
I thought you were
going
to go back to
body.
your old standby nipple lightning.
Nipple lightning.
It's deeper than nipple lightning. I mean, it's
oh wow,
it is.
Hello world, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who definitely, at some point, changed the channel with a set of pliers.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we will be saving the songs that told us our favorite show was coming up next with a countdown of the best TV theme songs of all time.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
There are songs that trigger memories of spending hours in front of the idiot box after school, or sitting on the couch with your whole family waiting for some big weekly event. And later, maybe it's a late night show, a sitcom that came on after the news every night that signaled the day was done. These songs are like portals into our childhoods, and they take up serious real estate in our brains.
I was going to say the word TV theme song. You sing the first thing that comes to mind. The Office. That's very respectable.
Yeah.
TV theme song. What's the first thing that comes to your head?
Here's the story of a man named Brady. He was living in a house with lots of kids.
Kiesel, you're out. Yeah. TV theme song. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
We're moving on up to the top. To a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up to the top. We finally got a piece of the pie. Mm-mm-mm.
Sing the first TV theme song that comes to your head.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could be this free.
If you ask most people, and by people, I mean grown-ups, born anywhere from 1940 to 1980, to sing a TV theme song, any TV theme song off the top of their head, it might sound something like that.
It might, or it might sound like my husband, who sang the theme song from Beretta.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. No, no, no.
You're a
no.
star.
Don't do it.
That was the nice. First one that came to his mind.
That's the first one that came yeah. to his mind.
So we Gen Xers and boomers too, for that matter, this is a shared knowledge. We right. know the words. Our age mates know the words. That's why we sing these songs on the bus, right? Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. We're a modern family. What do our kids sing on the bus?
Yeah.
There was a golden age of TV theme songs. And according to Paste Magazine, it ended in 2008.
I think there's something to be said for just the kind of television shows that happened after 2008. Mm-hmm. They're just the family friendly. Let's all sit down together. They just weren't
right.
existing mm-hmm. as much anymore.
That's the siloing, right?
You yes. can't,
there isn't a show that is for a group of people of various ages. It's right. very hyper focused.
That first hour of TV used to be very wholesome. Yes. And mm-hmm. of course, you'll sit down and watch The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie and We're mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10, and 11. I just think in terms of right. the whole television evening experience as a child, which is kind of what we're talking about, that our childhood, there just wasn't anything that for a long time, even to me in the after the growing pains, family mm-hmm. ties kind of generation of TV that really ever happened again.
Well, and for me at least, and I'll be able to share some of this when we're talking about our choices for best TV theme songs, I looked as forward to the theme song as I did to the show I was going to watch.
Yeah.
Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah.
These are some of the theme songs that broke into the top 10. So these
big
ones.
Hits.
Yeah, big hits.
Okay.
We have The Rockford Files was number 10 in 1975. Hill Street Blues, number 10 in 1981. Theme from Happy Days, Rock Around the Clock, was number 5 in 1976. Making It. Do you remember that show, Making It?
Oh, yeah.
I'm making it. I've got the chance. I'm taking it. No more begging.
Okay, what obviously I want everyone to do, if you want the biggest form of entertainment tonight, is I want you to go on YouTube. And I want you to search the theme from Making It, and watch the man sing it. And he, mm-hmm. he was the star of the show too. And he grew, because
David
the show,
Naughton.
If you remember.
I had a little crush
so
on him.
David Naughton. So the show only lasted 9 episodes, Making It. And it is yeah. in TV Guide's list of the worst TV shows of all time. And
oh my God, you're
it
kidding.
It was about, nope.
It's actually a good song. The show may have been super shitty, but the song is really good.
But watching him groove, because it opens with like 3 solid minutes of just music, and he cannot disco more than he's discoing in that.
He is definitely on cocaine, I'm going to say, because he just walks back and forth like a caged bear.
A caged bear with ants in his pants.
Okay, isn't he in like a Dr. Pepper commercial?
Yes, he's the Dr.
Yes!
Pepper guy.
Peppers, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Be a pepper, drink Dr. Pepper.
You're a pepper, something pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
All right, okay, we digress. But that was a good rabbit hole. So mm-hmm. Making It was number 5 in
Making
1979. Hawaii 5-0, number 4 in 1969. And Greatest American Hero reached number 2 in 1981.
Whoa.
Drum roll, please. Okay, but there were 2 songs that I found that actually hit number 1, and one of them in 1976, actually both of these were in 1976. 1976 was a big year for theme songs,
because
there were some in the top mm-hmm. 10. The theme from SWAT. In 1976, because it was very mm-hmm. disco, very funky, and that mm-hmm. was the height of disco. And it's a great, great song.
I always get it mixed up with the theme from Shaft.
Oh, Andy can really do the theme from Shaft, too.
Oh, my
God. Beretta,
can sing it?
Shaft, Kojak. Well, he does, like, the music and stuff. Like, he's like a beatboxer or something.
I want to see this.
Do you guys want to guess? There was another number one song. This is a lyric song in 1976 that reached number one on the Billboard charts.
Another, so 1976. And did you say what? Number one? It hit number one?
Number one, yeah.
I am coming up with a total blank. What else could it be? A number? So it means we had to hear it a lot.
You guys just want me to sing it, don't you?
I do want you to sing it, actually.
Welcome back.
Oh, of course.
Oh, I didn't know that got to number one.
Welcome back, Cotter. The theme from Welcome Back, Cotter reached number one in 1976.
Mm-hmm. Of course it did. In third grade.
The more you know.
Yes.
Okay, so then you had, so those were songs that were like theme songs that were actual songs, and they played on the radio constantly. That's why we loved them. So then you had songs that actually explained the premise of the show, and the master of this was Sherwood Schwartz, who created The Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, who wrote his own theme songs in order, clearly, to tell the watcher what was coming. And they generally started with something like, here's a story. So I'm gonna sing you a couple and see if you can name the show. So of course there's here's a story of a
lovely
man named Brady.
Okay, so obviously the Brady Bunch, right? Sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip. There you go.
Let's start Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island. Okay, then there's listen to a story about a man named Jed.
Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed.
And then one day he was shooting for some food. Out from the boat came the bubbling crude.
Oil, that is.
Black gold.
Texas tea.
And they didn't always start with here's a story or let me tell you or here's a tale. But they told you the story anyway. You knew what was happening. So, like, here's one that doesn't say here's a story, but it has in it, darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Green Acres is the place for me.
It tells you the whole setup in the song. So they tell you the whole story. Okay, so then you have the iconic instrumentals. There are things with no words, but they were drilled into our minds. And not only do we know them and can sing them, we heard them on the radio.
Mm-hmm. What about Dallas?
Dallas.
I have the Waltons down. That was on my top 10 list.
Sing it, Carolyn. Sing it. Da 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 da.
I think every kid who was a band member in the 80s had to play, and probably still had to play Hawaii 5-0. Every cheerleader did a routine to Hawaii 5-0.
Did you know that the Hawaii 5-0 theme is the unofficial fight song of the University of Hawaii?
No.
I love that fact. Isn't that a fun fact?
I also liked, I like this one. This is one I wrote down because this was a show that I've mentioned it before on the podcast. I got to stay up and watch with my mom and loved Heart to Heart. And after he says, and my name is Matt and I take care of both of them, which they need because when they met, it was murder.
And then there's MASH. But MASH was an instrumental when we watched it on TV, but it has words. So was MASH a movie first?
MASH was a movie, and the lyrics. So I think, IMHO, I think this is the most iconic of all instrumentals. So yeah, it was a movie first, and they did have the lyrics with the movie, but then when they did the TV show, they removed the lyrics, quite wisely, some say, because the title of the song is Suicide is Painless. Yes.
That's right.
Comes with me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. This is a song beloved by all junior high flute players, right?
Yes, I was going to say. That band.
And I have, there is one little instant, like a microsecond, in the opening to MASH that gives me goosebumps every single time. And it's this scene where these women dressed in their fatigues are just like running like hell.
Oh, yeah.
They're just running their asses off like this tight little cluster of Wonder Women, and they're going to kick some ass. They're going to save somebody's life. And I just like, I love it so much. And when I watch it with Mike, if I'm not in the room yet, he'll be like, he'll call out, "The ladies are running! The ladies are running!" Okay, did you also know who wrote the lyrics for the theme to MASH?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, so Sherwood the Schwartz. Lyrics, which we don't hear in the TV show, but we do hear in the movie, were written by Robert Altman's 14-year-old son. Robert Altman was the director of the movie. He's 14 years old, and it was like some poem he wrote in his journal, and his dad like, dang, that's good. Let's maybe put this into a song. And then that child, that kid, has made over $1 million in royalties.
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
Did good he become a songwriter or anything? Do we know?
No, I don't think he did. Oh. I don't think he did.
Sells insurance and Boca Raton. Right.
Little boy Altman. Way to go. Wow.
Good that's for him. Impressive. Yeah, I'm proud of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about this for, like, you know a song is iconic when you have a neighbor with an old jalopy full of junk, and every time it drives past your apartment, you go, burp, burp, burner.
Very good.
That was really good. Burr, yeah. Burr
person.
Burr, 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 burner. Which, love of course, it. Is Sanford and Son. So when Mike was like a newly minted adult and he lived in this apartment with like 19 other guys, and they'd sit out on the porch, and every time that jalopy drove by, one of the guys would go, burr, burr, burner.
See, and everyone knew what he was doing.
And that's everyone knew exactly what he was referring to.
That's yeah. right. That's exactly right.
Yep. It's impossible to talk about instrumentals without at least mentioning Mike Post.
This is true. And I'm going to do a little more than mention him because, my goodness.
That's a rabbit hole, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Was it a rabbit hole?
I'm okay, excited. Yeah. I've never heard his name.
Mm, oh, my.
Well, what? So here we go.
Let me tell you.
Here I'm we go. Audience. Fill us in, Carolyn.
He is worth maybe an entire episode of Pop yeah, Culture really Preservation is. Society. So what John Williams is to the music movies, so a music movie composer, we know John mm-hmm. John Williams, Star Wars, all that stuff.
Right, yes.
That is what Mike Post is to television. In 1974, he wrote The Rockford Files. As Michelle has told us, that became a top 10 hit. Mm-hmm. He actually won a Grammy for that in 1975 for Best Instrumental Arrangement. Mm.
So not okay. it wasn't an award for a TV show song. It was just
no,
an award
it's
for a
Grammy.
Song.
Yes.
Got
Best
it.
Instrumental Arrangement.
Good for you, Mike Post.
Went on to win two more Grammys for instrumental arrangements. Hill Street Blues and L.A. Law were also Mike Post creations. All right. He wrote the TV theme song for Magnum P.I. It's especially fun that he did this, you guys, because guess what? He was childhood friends with Tom Selleck. He graduated in the same high school class with Tom what? Selleck. I know.
Is that just 18. A coincidence?
One of my favorite, absolute favorite TV theme songs happens to be a Mike Post composition. You guys might not even know that.
No.
He co-wrote the theme song, The Greatest American Hero. Jody Scarborough only sang it. Yes.
I did not know that.
I want to read you now a quick list. I'm going to try to do it in one breath.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
even know if
okay.
I can. Of some of his, I don't even know if I'm including all of them, but these are TV theme songs that Mike Post has given us. Here you go. The A-Team, Baba Black Sheep, Blossom, The Commish, Doogie Howser, M.D., The Greatest American Hero, Hardcastle and McCormick, Hooperman, Hunter, Magnum P.I., News Radio, Prophet, Quantum Leap, Renegade, News Riptide, Radio. Silk Stockings, Stingray, Tales of the Gold Monkey, Ten Speed and Brown Shoe, The White Shadow, and Wise Guy. Can you believe
that's
all
amazing.
Of this?
That is, I love Doogie's theme song.
I love Doogie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We think we're growing up to the Bee Gees or whomever, but really we're growing up to Mike Post, and we don't even know it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's the music of our
when
coming
you hear
of
that
age.
List. Uh-huh. Isn't that amazing?
Hey, listeners, it's time for a quick pause for this important message from Hormone Harmony. And it's thanks to Hormone Harmony that I can remember important things now. Also improved, many other menopause-related symptoms so many of us are experiencing, like hot flashes and night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired and sluggish, occasional bloating, and yes, even that desire to be with the person you sleep next to, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and supporting their general well-being. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. Honestly, Hormone Harmony has become quite a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. And get this, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. The biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today.
Hello, listeners. A quick message. Is anyone else struggling with what to wear these days? I feel like styles have changed so much recently, not to mention that I got a whole new body when I turned 50, and I quite literally have no idea what to wear. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect summer wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. When I signed up, I took a style quiz, and based on my preferences, they offered suggestions that would best match my lifestyle and my taste. I needed outfits for 3 graduation parties, 1 graduation, 1 wedding, a library conference, and a school visit. And I wanted the clothes to fit, be comfortable, and make me look and feel like me. And I scored on all 3 fronts. In fact, at that wedding, I had no less than 5 strangers stop me and tell me how much they loved my look, including Gen Zers, which I took as a huge compliment. I felt fresh, current, and perfectly comfortable in my own skin. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That's armoire.style/PCPS to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again.
So just like our Barry Manilow episode earlier this season, we asked our social media followers to send us their favorite TV theme songs of all time. And they ponied up with over 50 TV shows, many of them mentioned over and over and over. You can only imagine, right? And then Carolyn and Michelle and I all created our own personal top 10 lists and also asked the people around us to share their favorites, as you heard Michelle doing. And every mention got counted, whether it was in person or online. And I then put my math helmet on and I came up with a definitive ranking of the top 10 TV theme songs from the golden age of TV theme songs, as long as you don't ask me to check my work. And there will be ties. There will be ties because math is math. That's just the way it goes.
That's right.
And so now, as Casey Kasem would say, on with our countdown. In the number 10 spot, we have 2 songs. I said that there would be ties, right? We have 2 songs that made a moderate showing in the race, but squeaked into the countdown with the help of their very strong showing on Michelle's and my personal top 10 lists. For me, it was The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
For me, it was Family Ties.
So The Courtship of Eddie's Father is by Harry Nilsson, and I'm a Nilsson, so I have a lot of feelings. I have special feelings for Harry Nilsson. And the song is called Best Friend. People let me tell you about my best friend.
He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
And the sequence, the opening sequence of the show starts with the two of them walking on the beach, Bill Bixby and his little boy, Eddie, walking on the beach, and Eddie will ask a very earnest, childlike question. And Bill Bixby is all sexy and his bell bottoms and his and his skin tight V-neck sweater with the wide collar, and he's got his tinted aviators on, and they run on the beach and they climb rocks and they play airplane. It's like your romantic fantasy translated into a parent child relationship. Mm-hmm. It'll break your heart, and Harry Nilsson captures it perfectly. And when I was little, I would watch this portion of the show and I would cry. there's a little tear coming down my face. I loved it so much.
Okay. And for me, this song came in for me at number four, which I actually, after I sent it, it might even be higher. But I mean, the theme from Family Ties, the song makes me tear up every time I hear it because the lyrics are so sweet and it's set to these photos from the family album that are just kind of going from when, especially in season one and two, when Stephen and Elise meet through when they're hippies, and then when she's pregnant, and then they have the babies, and the lyrics are just so beautiful. And then it's the whole, what would we do, baby, without us? Without us. It's Johnny Mathis with that sweet, sweet liquid gold voice. And Denise Williams of, you know, Let's Hear It for the Boy fame. Yep. And their voices just blend together so beautifully. And I will say that I know people listening right now are agreeing with me that that is just a beautiful, beautiful theme song. And what made it, it's a beautiful song on its own, but the images they put with it, oh, it just, it did. It was a song that made me very emotional. Still does, because I think I've told you guys I've been watching it on Paramount Plus.
It makes you love that family. All right, in the number nine spot, Michelle is the one who rated this next song the highest on her countdown. And since her husband serenaded us with it, I think she should tell us what we have in the number nine spot.
Yes, coming in for me at number five is Believe It or Not, I'm Walking on Air. It's the theme from The Greatest American Hero.
Personal top 10.
On my personal top 10, it's number nine here. Sorry, it's number nine. And it's just, it's so singable. I do have to tell you a funny story. So when I was asking, and Brian sang that immediately, he then revealed later, he's like, I don't know why that popped into my head. I've never even seen that show.
I didn't watch the show either, but I can sing it. Well, I'm totally on the same page. There are lots of shows I did not watch regularly, but I can sing the songs. Yeah. And that comes down to that fact that we didn't have as many shows. So we did know the songs. Okay, number eight. Of the three of us, I am the only one who had this next song in my top 10. You guys, I cannot even believe this. But our followers chimed in with enough votes to push it into the number eight spot. Number eight, you guys, it's our theme song. How could you not put the Partridge Family on your top 10? Come on, get happy.
It's embarrassing moment.
I can't even believe it.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Did you know that there were two versions of that song?
I did not.
So in the first season, it was more of a storytelling style. It's the same exact tune, but it wasn't Come On Get Happy. It was called When We're Singing, and it was Come On Down and Meet Everybody and Hear Us Singing. There's nothing better than being together when we're singing. Five of us. Well, this is the whole performance, right? Five of us and Mom working all day. We knew we could help her if our music would play. Danny got Ruben to sell our song. And it really came together when Mom sang along. So it was clearly written by a fifth grader.
I think it's adorable.
It is adorable, but it is not professional. So then, by the, I mean, it's like they're trying to retrofit the words into the rhythm of the song. So then by season two, you have, again, the same tune, new lyrics. Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. I just think it's better. It's just better. Yeah. We had a dream. We go traveling together. We spread a little love and then we keep moving on. Something whenever we're together.
Something always happens whenever we're together and we spread a lot of love. That's exactly why we chose that song as our theme song for those listening.
Precisely.
We looked at the lyrics of a lot. We knew we wanted to have something recognizable. And so we looked at the lyrics of a lot. We thought a TV theme song would be funny. Mm-hmm. And because we had the little, we knew we wanted the TV image. This is way back, you guys, in like, what, September? Mm-hmm. And we, way back, so long ago. It does seem like a long time ago. We've come a long way since then, But we wanted a TV theme song. And we thought this, actually, Kristen, just so all of you listening, Kristen wanted us to sing it. Remember that, Kristen?
Do you want me to do it
Carolyn
again?
And I stopped that right away. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the lyrics of Come On, Get Happy, not because we wanted to make everybody happy. That was our mission. We wanted to bring joy. And Something Always Happens As Long As We're Together was so true, too, because we all had such a good time talking about Gen X stuff every time we were together. And There you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, number seven. At number seven, we have another tie between
The Love Boat
and
The Facts of Life.
Well, mine was The Love Boat. That was my song.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard.
As we prepared for this episode, I listened to it and I got the same feeling inside. Mm-hmm. And it's more about the experience of that song and how it makes me feel that I put it on my mm-hmm. list. Because it's this feeling of anticipation. As I have stated to you guys many times, I had this thing that I loved about seeing a celebrity from one place show up somewhere else, like Battle of the Network Stars, mm-hmm. or in this case, The Love Boat. And they were a different character, and I just love that. And so that's when we learned, while that theme song is playing, the little portholes would show with the guest stars' faces. And so that's when
the porthole. Yeah.
Yes. Who was going to be on? You know, was it going to be Elke Sommer?
Who was never in anything except game shows and The Love Boat.
And so I just loved the feeling I still can get inside mm-hmm. when I hear that song. It was kind of this anticipatory, like, oh, who's going to be on this week? And that's why I chose that song. So it wasn't as much the lyrics mm-hmm. or anything like that, because, again, love, cheesy and Jack Jones.
New. Yeah. But I think, Carolyn, that's equally as important. Mm-hmm. I think the feeling you get from the theme song is equally as important as you picking one, because I loved the lyrics, or for sure, that's why I picked most of mine. I mean, Family Ties and this next one, The Facts of Life, is the same a lot. I loved the show.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life.
Also, Facts of Life, guys, just to remind you, is tied at number seven with The Love Boat. And I loved the show, one of my favorite shows in fifth and sixth and seventh grade. And we loved to sing this song at recess. In fact, I'm a little disappointed it wasn't in my Day in the Life, because we would play Foursquare and sing, we were so proud of the fact we knew all the words. We even knew the lesser known, trickier verse. When the boys you used to date you hate, it seems you best investigate the facts of life. That was not always shown. That was only in the longer versions of the title of the theme song. So it's just a fun, happy song. Do you guys like Facts of Life?
I loved Facts of Life, particularly in that first year. And I think the words to that song were kind of speaking to us exactly, because this was pre-adolescent and teen mm-hmm. girls speaking to us pre-adolescent and teen girls. And wouldn't you have liked to hang out in a house with all your buddies 100% of the time with mm-hmm. no parents around?
And then George Clooney is going to move in and run the candy shop next door.
Right.
Or help run the candy shop next door.
Totally. And that's just a candy shop. Just the fact that there's a candy shop. Yeah. Okay. In the number six spot, we have another tie. Good thing I warned you, right? In the number six spot, the first one was on all three of our lists, roughly in the same spot. So we're all on the same page here. And the second one was really high on Michelle and Carolyn's list, but never even occurred to me, which I think is kind of funny. So all three of us have big feelings about One Day at a Time. And the two of you are both in love with
Little House on the Prairie. Oh, I love that. And that's another. Yes, and I'll put in.
I'm even going to sing the instrumentals, guys.
So you're talking about the opening sequence, not dun 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 dun.
Oh no, the opening.
It's the opening.
I mean, I love the dun dun the ending.
Oh
one,
no,
too.
For me, it's the opening.
Okay. But I do the opening
horn one.
Yes.
Okay.
Those iconic four French horn notes in the beginning. And I want to say, again, it's about the feeling that I get, which is almost indescribable. I've tried to name it, and I'm going to tell you what I've come up with for right now. I would probably call it the Little House on the Prairie warming sensation effect.
Aww.
That it just gave me a warming sensation.
I thought you were
going
to go back to your old your old standby nipple lightning.
Nipple lightning.
It's more. It's deeper than nipple lightning. I mean, it's
oh wow!
Like you wet yourself. Is.
Yeah, it goes to my toes.
That warm, warm groin feeling.
It's warms everywhere.
Carolyn, though, I wrote that down on my paper. It says it right here. Warm. I just have a lot of feelings associated with the show, and like. For those of you listening, go back and listen to our Little House on the Prairie episode from season one. We talk a lot about those feelings, but I just have a lot of feelings associated with the show and the theme that, the French horn and the music, it just amplifies those feelings.
Yeah. One Day at a Time is just a good song. It's just a good song. And I'm surprised it wasn't on the radio. How could that song have not been on the radio? And I have a very distinct, it's, if you recall, it starts like, this is it.
This is it. This is it. This is life.
Clearly, I don't know all the words, but what I do have is a memory. Oh, God, my mom's going to kill me. My mom loved this song also. She loved this show. She loved Bonnie Franklin, and she would stand up, and she would dance, and she would do like almost like she's jogging a little bit, and then she would smack her ass. This is it. She is going to kill me. Oh, my God.
I love it.
Smacking her haunches. I used to have this ongoing argument with one of my roommates, Martha. Hello, Martha. Who swore. So the line is, so up on your feet, somewhere there's music play. And Martha swore it was, so wop on the beat. So wop
I
on
love
the
Martha.
Beat. Wop on the beat. Wait, Carolyn, you thought it was wop on the beat?
I don't know if I thought about the wop. But I definitely did on the beat. I'm not sure what I it was. I was last night years old when I realized that was not those were not the words. I just want
You're
everyone
kidding.
To know.
Kidding.
I think I always thought it was so up on your feet.
So up, yeah, up, so on, your up feet. On your feet.
Like up
on your feet.
UP,
yeah,
not WAP.
Yeah.
No.
Not WAP.
I always thought
was,
so up
she
on
thought
your
it
feet,
was WAP on the beat. It's up on
somewhere
your feet.
Somewhere there's music. Well, it makes sense.
Don't
you
say
somewhere
worry
there's
now.
Music
we'll
playing.
Just take my
well, so does a beat make
No,
sense.
There's no beat.
It's I think it was,
feet.
I thought, so jump on the beat. It was jump on the beat. Somewhere. Of course you're going to jump on the beat. Somewhere there's music playing.
Don't you worry now.
Our listeners can contribute.
One day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time.
It's just a good song. It's just a really good song.
Oh my God, everybody who's listening, stop screaming at us.
We
cannot hear you. You know they are.
Okay. Here's another one that was on all of our lists, all three of us. Mm-hmm. Because it's awesome, in the number five spot we have Schlemiel, Schlemazel.
Hasenbeff Incorporated.
We're going to do it. Give us any chance.
We need to do a reel with us doing.
We do.
I would do the choreographed thing with my sister, and she'd be, you know, Shirley, I'd be Laverne.
Up and the down.
We'd go up and down, and then go off with
you
our
should see the choreography that's going on right now. So did we name the show? It's Laverne and Shirley. If you didn't know that, in the number five spot is Laverne and Shirley. And it's also just an awesome, awesome song. And it was written by Norman Gimbel and Charles Fox, who also wrote the Happy Days theme. And Penny Marshall contributed that. They call it a hopscotch chant. I didn't know what the hell that was. What the Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. I did not know what that was. But apparently that was thanks to Penny Marshall. And here are your vitamins for the day. Get ready. A schlemiel means a habitual bungler. A schlemazel is an extremely unlucky or inept person. This is Yiddish, I'm assuming. Yes. Hasenpfeffer is rabbit stew. And why they put incorporated on the end, I have no idea.
What you need to do now, and everyone listening needs to do, because I discovered this last night, and it just made my heart happy. It's a YouTube video of a concert that the Killers, who I didn't really know who the Killers were.
I've seen them in concert.
But now I do, and now I love them. They brought the Violent Femmes up on stage in Milwaukee, and they sing this song, and it is so fun and cute. Yes, so I will put
that.
A link.
God.
And the show notes. It
yes,
is
please.
So great. It was like their homage to the city of Milwaukee, but it was fun.
Okay, this is also, this I did not know. These guys that wrote Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days also wrote the Wonder Woman theme, which did not get a single vote. Not one person said Wonder Woman, but that song is a kick in the pants. Wonder Woman. It's right? That is a good song. It's like this hard driving feminist anthem. And I never really heard the words before, but it's like Wonder Woman in your satin tights, fighting for your rights and the red, white, and blue.
Wonder Woman. All the world is waiting for you and the power you possess in your satin tights. Fighting for your rights and the old red, white, and blue.
I mean, it is serious. It's serious. And that's a good example of a show I really didn't watch that much, but I loved the theme song. I knew that theme song. Okay, number four. Carolyn, what do we have at number four?
Well, you guys, we have another classic, wonderful one. Welcome back, Cotter.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
And as Michelle pointed out, that actually hit number one on the Billboard chart. So that's, I think, maybe the only TV theme song that hit number one, because Greatest American Hero was number two. I've got some fun facts for you about this song, too.
Good.
So buckle up, you guys. So it's sung by John Sebastian. John Sebastian was an original member of the Love and Spoonful.
Oh, I didn't know that.
How did I not know that? Then they had kind of broken up, and he had gone on his own way, and he had really not been doing much before he wrote this. So there was the Love and Spoonful days, and then there was all of a sudden he's back in the groove because he wrote and sang the Welcome Back, Cotter song. I think it's because he was very lucky. His godparents were looking down on him. Guess who his godparents are?
Oh, my God.
You'll never guess.
Mike Post.
No, not Mike Post. His godmother is Vivian Vance. His godmother is Ethel.
Oh, Ethel.
Yes, from I Love Lucy. His godfather is Garth Williams, the children's book illustrator.
No. What are you talking about?
Who illustrated The Little House on the Prairie books, Charlotte's Web, Stuart Little, and a lot of little golden books. Can you believe that?
That Ethel? Is crazy.
I know.
Ethel and Garth Williams.
Yes.
Garth Brooks.
Isn't it an interesting family, though, that Vivian Vance and Garth Williams were in their circle of
that's
friends?
That's
a very eclectic circle.
Well,
of
how do
friends?
They know both of those people?
How fun is that?
That's some good stuff, Carolyn.
Not to mention, those are great lyrics in that song. I love that song.
And don't you wonder, since it was such a big hit, how many more viewers did the show get because of that song being on the radio? And it was such a good song. I mean, people are going to be like, right. I'm going to watch that show. The two of you need to introduce our number three song because you both put it in the number one spot on your list. And we did these lists confidentially.
No contest.
Yes. Yeah, this
no
is number one for both of you.
There's a plate of homemade wishes on the kitchen windowsill. And it is enough to fill our lives with love.
Let's go. I mean, when we talked about we have an Eight is Enough entire podcast episode, people go back and find it. It's a good one. And we talk a lot about that theme song.
Yeah.
It's beautiful and it gives us all the feels. And it we're not the only ones. I know many, many of you listening feel the same way, because when we did the Eight is Enough theme song, we got a lot of comments about that. The theme song. So it's
number
iconic.
Three on our list. I mean,
number three. And I think it's a theme song that got buried. I think once you trigger people's memory about it, they're like, oh my God, the theme song. And they really, really go back in time and remember how much they loved it.
Oh, and the golden pipes of Grant Goodeve.
Oh, sweetheart.
His voice is just as pretty as his face.
Yep. With his ski jacket on. Number two. Let's move on. Number two.
Alrighty.
This whole experiment, really, was really a contest between the next two songs. It was a nail biter. But in the end, one of them took a definitive lead. And at number two, we have the song that I put in my number one spot. Oh, we're moving on up to the east
to
side. Okay, I'm going
to
start now.
Deluxe apartment
in the sky.
We're
moving on. Deluxe apartments in the sky.
So moving on up from the Jeffersons starts, it's basically a storytelling song, like we talked about in the beginning. It tells you exactly what the show is about. And you have George and Wheezy on the sidewalk and they're looking up, right, at their new apartment. They're moving on up to the east side. And this is how I learned of the cachet of living on the top floor, that that was significant, that that meant you were really making it in the world. And I understood the double meaning. I was like, oh, that's so clever. Where they were moving on up in life and they were moving on up to the top floor of this new apartment building. And I just thought that was so clever. I loved it. I mean, just try not to clap along to that song, right?
You can't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's impossible.
And you might have to stand up, too. I think
maybe
a lot of
people. Hit your haunches?
Yeah.
Like Linda?
Smack,
hit your haunches?
Smack your haunch. Smack your haunches while you jog. It's a jogging dance. So a lot of people know this already, but it was sung by Jené Dubois, who played Wilona on Good Times. Good Times was actually, that was my number 9 pick.
That's a very good theme song.
It's a really good theme song.
Step away when you can. Temporary layoffs.
Good times.
Easy credit and rip-offs.
Good times.
I'm really disappointed it didn't make it into our top 10. Okay. And now, for the number 1 TV theme song of our shared TV history, as voted by you, the members of the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
Ladies and gentlemen, this song features our beloved hometown of Minneapolis and our hat-tossing Saturday night bestie, Mary Richards. The number 1 song is the theme from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show, love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have the town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
That song is Minnesota to me. It's the beauty of my new home. When I moved here, it's the beauty of my new city, this place that I was going to be going to. And this is how my mom sold it to me. We're going to the place where Mary Richards lives.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, absolutely.
That's darling.
And I know. And I get very warm and fuzzy feelings about that. I thought Mary was going to be like sitting on my doorstep when I arrived. But it's also a bedtime song for me because I would be all tucked in cozy in my bed and Mary Tyler Moore came on every night at 10 o'clock after the news and my parents had the little portable Panasonic TV on their dresser and I could hear that the theme song beginning and it was an every night, nightly thing. Like it was my lullaby. It was putting me to
so
bed.
You have a feeling with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a warm, cozy, tucked in feeling. So Mary Tyler Moore was the clear winner by a long shot. She really got way out ahead of the Jeffersons after a while. They were neck and neck for a while. But then Mary Tyler Moore pulled ahead. But there were many, many songs submitted to us as favorites. And just because you didn't hear yours in the countdown does not mean it's not one of the best TV theme songs of all time. And we want you to feel heard. And so here's a list of all the TV theme songs submitted to the Pop Culture Preservation Society as people's favorites. People let us know what is their favorite. And here are all the votes they submitted. That Girl, starring Marlo Thomas, Good Times, Chips, The Hardy Boys, The Waltons, Moonlighting, Family Ties, MASH, Love American Style. I tried not to sing it. I did that on purpose. Love American Style. Okay, I couldn't do it. Gilligan, Laverne and Shirley, WKRP, The Rockford Files, All in the Family, Taxi, Barney Miller, which has one of the most recognizable bass lines, I think, of all time, really. Bosom Buddies. What is Bosom Buddies? Do you remember?
If I heard it, I would, but I can't.
I think it's a song. I don't think it's...
Oh, it's yeah, it is.
You don't remember
the
show?
It's the Billy Joel song. It's
oh,
My
Billy
Life.
Joel.
It's Billy Joel, My Life.
Yes, it's My Life. Got it. Dallas, The Muppet Show, Little House on the Prairie, BJ and the Bear, which we used to call BJ and the Boobs, The Facts of Life, The Monkees, Hawaii Five-O, The Odd Couple, The Brady Bunch, Beretta, The Courtship of Eddie's Father, Welcome Back, Cotter, The Greatest American Hero, Sanford and Son, Cheers, Hill Street Blues, SWAT, Heart to Heart, Alice, which thank you for reviving Alice for me, Michelle, because mm-hmm. that really is a fantastic theme song. Mm-hmm. Happy Days, Love Boat, Three's Company, The Jeffersons, The Partridge Family, Eight is Enough, One Day at a Time, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Bob Newhart Show, China Beach, which I think was a Motown song, The Bugaloos, they're in the air and everywhere, Sigmund and the Sea Monster, and Johnny and Scott are friends, The Beverly Hillbillies, Sesame Street, The Electric Company. And there are a couple of things that I have to bring up that didn't get a single vote that kind of surprised me. Mr. Rogers, nobody said.
What?
Yeah. Nobody said Mr. Rogers. Nobody said the Munsters, which is like the surf rock thing.
Right.
Batman, which is pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Square Pegs?
Yeah, I don't. I remember the show.
Square pegs. Oh. Like, oh my God.
Right.
Square pegs. That was by the waitresses.
Huh.
And then we did talk about making it. No, I'm the only one who said anything about making it with the Dr. Pepper guy. Yeah. Angie, do you remember the theme song to Angie? It was by Maureen McGovern, and that actually charted too. That was, I think, a number eight song.
It wasn't Angie Baby by Helen Reddy.
That was my mistake. I just made the assumption that Angie Baby by Helen Reddy was about the show Angie, about Donna mm-hmm. Pascal. But no, it was not.
Yeah. I have a big one that got left off the list. So I'm going to put this on as an honorable mention.
Okay. And was it on your list? Was it on your top 10?
I didn't put it on my list only it's because I didn't want to be ridiculed. It's a very honorable mention that cannot be left unmentioned. Okay. It was one of my very favorite theme songs of all time. It's a bit of a sleeper, but I am very proud that I can still sing the entire thing, you guys. It's seriously like my adult party trick. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, do it.
Please, well, you know what? I'm going to sing it.
Okay.
And please. I'm going to sing the entire thing. I'm going to sing it sped up. And so don't even try to cut me off. All right.
Okay. I'm going to try really hard to keep my mouth shut.
For those of you listening out there, I know for certain there are many of you who will know this when I start singing it and who are going to be shouting it out. So please, I'm encouraging you, sing along with me. Please. I need some backup. Okay. So here we go. Picture this. And you guys, I don't even have to like look these words up, but picture this. There's a solo spotlit piano in an empty bar and some very mediocre vocals at best. Okay. Something magic in the way you hold me in your eyes. Here comes the female who we hate. No one ever warned me, love just takes you by surprise. Both sing. Don't know what's come over me. You got me hypnotized when you look at each other. Look at me. Music swells. You look at me. Soft as any touch can be. And suddenly there's magic when you look at me. I feel like I'm in heaven every moment when harmonize. You look at me. Key change. You look at me. Music swelling. And suddenly I'm captured in your eyes. Here come the drums. Here comes the horns. You look do 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 at do 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 me dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. They're holding out the last note. Me. And then everybody's applauding.
I know exactly what that is. And then I thought I was going to sing along. And now I have no fucking idea what that is.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know what that is. What is that?
What was that?
What was
the theme song from Joni Loves Chachi?
Oh, wait. Do Scott Baio and Aaron Moran sing that song?
Yeah.
You look at me, soft as any touch could be, and suddenly there's magic when you look.
Scott Baio sings it in the theme. He sings it to Aaron Moran, but in real life, he was singing it to me. And he sings, there's something magic in the way you hold me in your eyes. Want you guys to go back and watch it. And okay. I want you to notice how off key he is. At the time, I thought he was the best singer ever. Did you guys not watch Joni Loves Chachi religiously?
Yeah, sure. I watch it.
You know what? Everybody listening, I'm going to have to find a new job. That's it. I'm going to throw up all my papers in the air. Can I just beg you, those of you out there who knew that song that are listening, even if you couldn't sing it with me, if you knew it, please let me know because I'm feeling very alone here in my closet.
Oh my goodness. And that, my friends, concludes our countdown of the top 10 television theme songs in all the land. Thank you for joining us. And remember to keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
And join us next time for what might be my favorite episode that we'll ever, ever do. We will be preserving the 70s version of reality TV, Battle of the Network Stars.
And if you know a fellow Gen Xer who would enjoy this show, please share our countdown with them and make sure to tag us when you do. And we're sure you are already subscribing or following where you listen. But if you're not, please do. It makes a huge difference in if we get heard. Also, leaving a rating or review would be really helpful, and we'd appreciate you forever and ever.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast. Straight from the apartment of Jack Tripper, Janet Wood, and Chrissy Snow, where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Two good times.
Two happy days.
Two Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to me, the Crushologist, and Carolyn and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, I guess there's always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded at Modern Well, a woman-centered co-working space in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.
We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song.